all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, from bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. The pandemic brought many changes to the country, the state, and even to Port Townsend. Our town has become an even more desirable place to live. That has its good points and bad points. Housing values have skyrocketed. That's great if you want to sell your house and move somewhere else. But where? Why would anyone want to leave our sweet little town? There's some logic to this national reshuffling. Thanks to the pandemic, a lot of people are realizing they don't have to put up with the hassles of the big city. Why not move to a picture-perfect town on the water? So people have started pouring in. It's changing things. But life goes on much as it always has. People still need to go to the grocery store or take their kids to school. They need all sorts of basic things, and one of those basics is medical help. Jefferson Healthcare does an excellent job for a small hospital, and its doctors are excellent. Another area of medicine you better not overlook is dentistry. If you wake up one day with an infected tooth, you better be able to get a hold of a top-notch dentist. Don't fool around with tooth problems. We have a number of fine dentists in the region, but I don't think most of you have taken time to note that we have only one female dentist who runs her own practice. She's my guest today. Dr. Liza Mathias owns Uptown Dental right here on Lawrence Street. Some people refer to the practice as the Ladies on the Hill. So welcome to the show, Dr. Mathias.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you for having me.
I want to start out, as I always do, with basics. Are you a local girl born and bred in Port Townsend?
I am indeed, born and raised.
That's amazing. And so what did your folks do?
My mother was an artist, and then my father was a physician. He was a psychiatrist in town. And my mom, in addition to being an artist, she also helped out in his practice.
Uh-huh. And do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one older sister.
And what'd she end up doing?
She's a stay-at-home mother now, but she was working for Thurston County doing land management.
Okay. So you went to Port Townsend High School. I'm always interested in high school because it's such a formative time, and kids label each other. You know, he's a jock, she's a geek, he's a nerd. But what do you think they thought of you?
I am pretty sure that people thought of me as the nerd geek type. I was pretty quiet, pretty shy, kept my head down, studied a lot.
Probably got good grades, too.
I did get good grades, yep.
Okay. And in your household, was it sort of expected that you two would go on to university?
It was. It was not something that I even thought about. It was just, that's what life is. You go to high school and you go to college. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know any different.
And were you a rare kid who really had it all together in your head? I want to be X when I grow up?
I was not. No. I had a lot of interests and had a hard time figuring out exactly what I wanted to be or do.
So where'd you go first?
I first went to undergrad at Whitman College. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated from there with a degree in biology. Didn't know what to do with it exactly. Contemplated other degrees. Yes. But I thought I wanted to go into medicine. My father was a physician, so that's what I knew.
So were you in Seattle at this point?
I was. I was in Seattle. I was taking some prerequisites for going to medical school, possibly physical therapy school. And in one of those classes, I stumbled upon dentistry.
What sort of jobs did you hold in the meantime?
I worked as a physical therapy aide. I did some retail. And I also, for the largest portion of the time, I worked as a research assistant with the Veterans Administration.
So how did you stumble on the idea of dentistry?
It was a bit twofold. I met a girl that I had gone to undergrad with in one of my prerequisite classes. When I expressed that I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with medicine and healthcare and that I thought I wanted to be in that field, but I really liked working with my hands, she suggested I look into dentistry because it sounded like the perfect marriage of science and art and working with my hands. So I started volunteering and shadowing. And then I remembered that Dr. Scharf, who I bought my practice from long ago, had told me that I would make a great dentist when I grew up. And I always dismissed it, but I think he was onto something.
Well, you also told me that he was actually your first dentist, and you saw him the first time when you were like 3 years old.
He was. He was my dentist all growing up. He has known me since I was a baby.
Well, that's an interesting thing. So you applied then to dental school.
I did.
Well, yes. Before we go and talk about that, you said something interesting about the marriage between, you know, art and dentistry. Can you explain that a little bit? I don't think most people think of dentistry as an artistic field.
Right. It's and in many ways, there are ways that we are simply, you know, scientific technicians, really. In dentistry, you don't think of art when you think of cleanings and exams, but when you get into the aspect of fillings, crowns, smile design, you really want somebody with an artistic eye and somebody who has the ability to scrutinize how the teeth fit into the face, how they fit in with each other and into the arch form for both functional and artistic.
Okay, so do you actually then design crowns?
I work with my laboratories to design crowns, but I do a lot in terms of material design, shade composition, and designing the shape of the crowns to meet the arch form and be in harmony with the occlusion and the function.
Okay. So I don't know much about dental school. How long does it take?
Dental school itself is 4 years after undergraduate. Uh-huh. And then there's an optional, if you want to be a general dentist, there's an optional fifth year residency that you can do.
Mm-hmm. And did you do the residency?
I did do the residency.
Where?
I went to Idaho State University in Boise. Or the Boise location of the residency.
Interesting. And so how did you end up back here in Port Townsend?
Towards the end of residency, Dr. Scharf reached out to me. He had reached out to me actually in dental school as well. But when I told him I wanted to go to residency, and then towards the end of residency, he offered me a job and said, you should really think about coming back here. We could really use another dentist.
So he sort of was pursuing you, huh?
He was, indeed. Indeed.
That's really
interesting.
I think
I was his retirement plan.
Funny way to think of it. Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people, when they grow up in a small town, they really want to flee the small town. Mm-hmm. Did you have that? Of course, you were out for a few years.
I was out for a few years. And I honestly, when I was a child, I didn't necessarily appreciate the town for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I did want to get out and experience things. And I did. I went to college. I traveled. I lived in the big city. And I wanted to come back. I don't think you can get a better mix of quality of life as well as beauty in the area. And just kind people.
So you accepted his first offer? Did you come back immediately to work with him?
I did accept his offer, and initially it was just part-time. Uh-huh. So I was sharing time between Port Townsend and Seattle, and living in both places and working in both places. I realized working over in the, on the Seattle side wasn't for me, and so I still was sharing time living in Seattle because I had a lot of friends and social things I like to do over there. But now I have made the move and I'm fully in Port Townsend.
So what were the things that you did not like about the big city?
Traffic.
Yeah, that is something else.
And I came to realize that, you know, my friends were scattered about, and I lived in North Seattle, and I had a friend, one of my best friends lived in Columbia City, and it would take an hour on a Friday night to go visit her for dinner. And so I stopped being able to see my friends as much if they didn't live close by, which was a huge bummer. There were just too many people. It was crowded and busy, and it was not personal. You're just a number.
So when you came back here, were your folks still living here?
Yes, my mom still lives here. My father no longer is with us. He passed away a number of years ago, but my mom still lives here with her partner. It's really fun to be in the same town as they
good,
are.
Good.
Yeah.
And so you were doing this part-time here, part-time there. And at what point did you transition to more full-time here?
I think it slowly happened over the past few years. when I purchased the practice in November of 2018, I really ramped up my working here. And then as I began to wrap my head around owning and running a practice is when I really started to engage more on this side of the water. And then I fully moved to Port Townsend after I bought my home here.
Mm-hmm. That's a big step.
It is a big step.
Well, buying a business. Did you buy the business before the house?
I did.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, I've never purchased a business, so I was thinking about it. Is it sort of similar to purchasing a house where you take out a loan?
Yes. You take out a very large loan.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Because I was thinking just like a house, not many people have their back pocket stuff with enough cash to buy.
Right. Right. It's a little, I mean, it's structured a little bit differently. You typically mm-hmm. don't have to have, it's not a 30-year loan and you don't have to have the same sort of down payment. You usually can get 100% financing. Yeah. And it's usually a 10-year loan, thereabouts.
Hmm. Okay.
So, a little different.
Yeah, well, that's a big step. Big step,
it is, and it was scary.
Yeah. So, I'd like to go back a little bit to talk about the artistic side here mm-hmm. and the advances in dentistry, because I actually saw in one office one time one of these machines that sort of makes the crown in mm-hmm. front of you.
Yep.
And do you have one of those?
I don't have one of those. That's a 3D milling machine.
And roughly how much do these babies cost?
It's variable, but usually around $150,000, $175,000.
Wow. That's a lot of bucks.
It is. It is indeed. It's a lot of crowns to do in order to make it worth it.
Yeah. And I would imagine the technology, they weren't around like 15 years ago.
They were around probably 15 years ago, but they were definitely not as widely used because the technology wasn't where it should be. So it's definitely improved over the past 15, 20 years drastically.
Your opinion is it's still evolving?
It's constantly evolving. Most things mm-hmm. in dentistry are, but honestly, the things that I see come from the 3D milling machines these days in the right hands, it's really wonderful.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, and to be able to provide the service of a one-day visit for a crown is great.
Yeah.
It really is. If you can get all the kinks worked out, it's wonderful.
Yeah, but I can see that I don't know. I hope they keep advancing it and,
They definitely do. Everything in dentistry is advancing rapidly. Always. But
there are some things I would like to see advance more quickly, like the x-ray problem.
Always, always. It's one size fits no one.
Yes, exactly. So it's not just me.
Nope.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Okay, when you acquired the business, you said it was 2018. Mm-hmm. How big was the practice? How many staff did you have?
I think we had around 14 at that time. And we already had Dr. Scharf and I. Before I bought the practice, we together found Dr. Olson, who's my associate and works with me at the practice. And so we had grown a little bit before I bought the practice, and we've grown a little bit more since.
But Dr. Olson is not a co-owner or anything?
No, she's not. But she does practice with me.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Did he stay around a while, sort of as a mentor to help you out?
He did, yes. He was around, definitely pared back his days. Mm-hmm. And he fully retired probably a year after I bought the practice, or maybe even 6 months after I bought the practice. He's still around in the background for me to call upon if I need him. And he does provide wonderful support. And when I have questions about the business aspect of running a practice, I look to him and I say, Dr. Scharf, help.
So he will, you can call him up and say, yes. What do I do about this or something?
Indeed, indeed. So he's very helpful.
The dentistry part of it is one thing, but it's a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have payroll, you have, bills, you have all of that stuff. When you were at dental school, did they train you on how to run a business?
It's funny. They think they do. They give you one course, and it's in your last year of dental school, and they really teach you just enough to be terrified of owning a practice. But as you know some things, but I think you don't really necessarily I didn't recognize that they had given me information. I just didn't know what to do with it until I actually owned a practice. So I did not feel prepared, but as you jump into it, you figure it out pretty quickly. It takes a lot of work. It's a big learning, learning curve.
Were you tempted to, I don't know, take any accounting courses or?
I was tempted, definitely. I was tempted to go back to school and get an MBA or something like that.
Yeah. But of course you didn't have time.
No, no.
Running a business.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very busy.
Yeah. That would be difficult, you know, because it's one thing to be prepared to be a dentist. It's quite another thing to be prepared to run the business.
Absolutely. And so. I'm very thankful to have Dr. Scharf and Mary, my office manager, and my CPA, who's also a person in town.
That's an important role.
They're very helpful to me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I happen to know that at the moment you have an all-female office. Is that by accident or design?
A little bit of both, I suppose, but it's mostly by accident. And Dr. Olson and myself are female. And then most of my staff and the people who have applied to be staff have been female. So we ended up with an all-female staff, but I do really... I like the energy it creates. It's wonderful. We're very caring and nurturing. At least I feel we are. We're a nice, happy family. So a little bit by accident.
Okay. And I know when we were talking the other day, you were talking about some of the, what I guess I would call extracurricular things that you're doing, although they're not all quite extracurricular, because there was a pet wall. Explain what the pet wall was and what the pet prizes are going to be.
So the pet wall was a very fun activity. Our staff had an amazing time with it. And it was, I will give the credit to Anna, my front office. She thought of the idea as a celebration of National Pet Day, which is April 11th.
I missed that. My cats must be furious.
I know. So National Pet Day, we decided to, that's when we put up our wall, and it was, we each were allowed to submit 4 photos of our pets. And if you did not have pets, you could submit other photos of animals. Didn't have to be yours. And then we had categories, and our patients, as they were either coming in and waiting for their appointment or as they were exiting, they could take a look at the wall and then vote on what they thought the best option was for each category. And then there will be prizes, which I will be handing out at an upcoming meeting. For prizes, our categories, I should say, were, I think we had best in show, obviously, and best cat.
Best smile.
Best smile, indeed.
Yes.
But nobody really cared who won. We just
but it's fun.
Enjoyed looking at the pets.
So you seem to care a lot about building team spirit. Mm-hmm. And I know you are planning a retreat with your staff. Mm-hmm. And can you just give the outline of the idea of what you're doing?
I rented a large home out of town. So we're going over to the Cascades in the mountains. And we're all just going to spend a long, nice long weekend together. I hired a yoga instructor so we can all do yoga together in the morning. We're going to float the river and go for some hikes and basically just spend time hanging out with each other and enjoying each other's company outside of the office. Because we do really like each other.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Should be.
We like to hang out.
So in terms of building your staff, I've talked to people in other businesses, and they've had a lot of problems hiring competent staff. Have you run into that problem?
I have run into the problem of little bumps in the road of people coming and going during COVID for various reasons, usually family or other obligations or whatnot. But the staff that I hire, I have not had a problem finding very competent staff. My staff are amazing, and I feel very, very fortunate to have found them.
So it's my understanding that there's something of a shortage of hygienists all around.
Absolutely.
And when we were talking about it the other day, I didn't realize how actually well-paid that position can be.
Mm-hmm.
So just recap, roughly how much do you make as a hygienist? Well, first you go to school. You just don't walk in and say, hi, I'm a hygienist.
Right, right. You know, it's a licensed position, so you do need to have gone to hygiene school and then pass the boards.
Okay.
But roughly you can make around, our local wages I think are around 50 to 65 an hour, something like that.
Right. You penciled that out, a 4-day week at roughly 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of at the bottom entry. So.
Right. That was at the bottom. And then there's always some offices will do bonuses based on production and things like that. So it's a lucrative career with a lot of flexibility and huge need. Huge need all over.
Yeah. So listeners, if you know a young person who wants a nice career,
absolutely
consider that. Yeah. Huh. One other thing about your office that I just want to get a brief mention in. You sort of function your waiting room as an art gallery.
Yes, we do. Both waiting room and our hallway into the operatories. And it's wonderful. It's beneficial for our artists who get to show and they get to sell their work. And then we get rotating work on our walls, and we get to enjoy the new art every quarter. We also throw an artist opening. So each quarter we have a little party for the artist. They get to invite their friends. I buy the food and drink, and we just enjoy admiring the work, and the artist gets to sell.
Yes. And I understand you don't take a cut.
No. It is entirely beneficial for me because I get beautiful art on my walls, and it's beneficial for them because they get to show and sell their work.
Yeah. That's great. It's really lots of fun.
It is indeed. I love it.
Quickly, COVID, how did that impact you and how does it impact you?
COVID has been tricky in the dental office because you can't exactly get your teeth worked on with a mask on. So it has been a lot of bumps in the road and constantly a moving target in terms of regulations and recommendations. We have managed to keep, as far as we know, we've kept everyone safe, and we've taken a lot of measures to keep people safe in our office, staff as well as patients. And some of them, as things have gone on, we've lightened up a little bit as we've learned more, but it's been difficult. But we've gone through and our business has maintained, if not grown.
Hmm. Well, dental offices are under the same sort of restrictions as, let's say, the hospital is.
Yes,
we are. In terms of still masking and all these other precautions.
And 95s so. All day long.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun.
No.
It's very difficult. I don't know. So standing back from it a little bit, I mean, you're really sort of still at the beginning of your career running mm-hmm. the office. I mean, what are you think the important lessons you learned so far?
Let's see. What are my important lessons? I think I like to work with nice people, on nice people.
Yes.
And I have learned to really respect people in their roles and ask for help when I need it.
Okay. Do you think you're getting better at interviewing and picking the right people?
Yes. I definitely have learned that, at least for the roles that don't require a specialized license or degree,
right?
I have learned to hire based on personality versus the skill, because in a lot of the skills can be taught, but personality, finding the right people that fit with the group and want to work hard with us to make our practice wonderful, that's really the key for me, at least.
Yeah,
work as a team
is important.
Yeah, absolutely, and to respect one another. As in my practice, we all respect one another, both professionally as well as people on a personal level. So, I think that's really integral to being cohesive.
Okay. And looking down the road, where do you see you're going? Are you going to add more technology, diversify your skills?
That's the plan. Dr. Olson and I, even though, she's not an owner in the practice, but we work closely together and we have very, very similar treatment planning strategies. So it's wonderful to have someone who thinks so similarly on a professional level. We've been talking about adding new technology to the practice. We're trying to figure out what exactly that looks like right now, mm-hmm. looking at different, cone beam technology or laser technology. Also looking at adding potential neurotoxin therapy for bruxism and TMJ problems.
So that's Botox.
That is Botox.
Okay.
Yeah. And looking at adding potentially a little bit more clear aligner therapy. But we still have a lot of work to do in terms of research and ironing these things out. But we will be trying to expand our practice offerings and the technology that we utilize. Also considering some more implant therapy, things like that.
That would be good. Mm-hmm. We could do implants here and not necessarily have to go out of town for it.
Absolutely. And I like surgical procedures, so I'm looking forward to exploring that more.
Yes, that could be exciting. Well, we're just about out of time here. So when you think about now living in Port Townsend, are you still excited about it?
I am. Yeah, I love it here. I love the pace of life, and I love being able to see the water on all sides. And if I really need the city, I can get over there pretty easily, but I don't find that I really need it that much.
Well, I miss a few things now and then, but particularly after the long lockdown.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Maryam McNellis. My guest today has been Dr. Liza Mathias, owner of Uptown Dental. I also want to thank Sunny Flores, the editor and producer of Our Town. Many of you don't realize how important the role of an editor is on a show like this. He can edit out any of our stumbles and mumbles and ticks, making us sound so much more eloquent and smooth. So thank you, Sunny. In addition to thanking both Liza and Sunny, I want to thank you, the listener, for sticking with KPTZ during these troubled times. Hopefully, we're seeing the light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ. We're a community radio station by and for the people of Jefferson County. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we all believe Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support. We need more volunteers. And I hate to mention it, but we also need your donations. We get zero government support. We're entirely listener supported. So step up and donate. You don't need to wait for one of our periodic fund drives. You just go to the website, kptz.org, today, and you can donate. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ. I'm Maryam McNellis. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Maryam McNellis and edited by Sunny Flores.